Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Was at the Cape 91.3, and we've almost reached the end of day 4 of the ANC's National Policy Conference, where delegates have been locked in, well, discussions. What they've been discussing, not too sure. Of course, at the center of the robust discussion of what we're not too sure is this much bandied about term called radical economic transformation and the proxy battles between JZ and Cyril Ramaphosa. Joining us from the NASREC Expo Center in Johannesburg is journalist Karen du Plessis. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Karine, by the way.
Karine, yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
I always get that one wrong, sorry. Karine, just very quickly, has something substantial finally emerged from these 4 days other than this footsie-footsie we've been seeing from the outside in?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot going on inside Conference Center, but we're not being let in at the moment. But what I do hear from the inside is that they're busy discussing policy issues and commissions. And this morning, one big biggie that came out of it is that the ANC has decided that it's not white monopoly capital, it's just monopoly capital. And what that basically means is that the camp that supports President Jacob Zuma lost this one, because you will remember that the Youth League and supporters in the business world of President Zuma have been pushing and saying it's white monopoly capital, that's our problem. And and Gauteng has basically been saying it's just monopoly capital. So that one is already done and dusted. I'm not sure about the radical economic transformation yet, but we just had a very happy-looking Secretary-General Gwede Mantashe waltzing into the media lounge, and he basically confirmed the white monopoly capital thing to me. But that's as much as I've heard. Another thing that I've heard by chance from the International Relations Committee is that South Africa, or that the ANC still stands by its decision to withdraw from the International Criminal Court. But that's not so surprising. There's more unity in the ANC about the ICC issue than there is about the monopoly capital issue. So those are the two things that I've heard from the inside. But otherwise, we're pretty much still waiting, and I think we'll probably not know anything official until tomorrow. I don't think there are any more press conferences today.
Yeah. Have you been taken for any more golf cart drives around NASREC?
Any game drives? Yes, this morning there was actually one where President Zuma did a walkabout of the Progressive Business Forum. Yesterday it was Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, and I didn't go this morning. I went yesterday, and it was utterly bizarre. It was it's like they're trying to keep us away, sort of from the delegates. It's almost like a game drive. You're not allowed to get out or to take pictures or to feed the animals, so to speak.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this morning, President Zuma, he just basically said that, as usual, the conference is going well, and, he put on a happy smile and so on. But he kept journalists waiting for quite a while, I believe. I heard some, from social media, I saw some very tired-looking colleagues sitting there waiting for him to finish his walkabout. And they couldn't go anywhere else, really. I mean, the security guards really kept us, yesterday as well, kept us in our places, kept us from interacting with the delegates, which is just a little bit unsettling, because you kind of think, if this is all about debates, why can't we, why can't we speak to people about their opinions and their viewpoints?
Yeah, in fact, in the piece that you wrote, you've alluded to the distance from power that average South Africans are experiencing. And when I read your piece, that was the first thing that struck me, even before you'd made that comment, is that in the last couple of months or year or so, there's been a massive distance between, or an attempt to create a distance between the ANC and journalists. They seem to have a problem with the media, and maybe they're paranoid about leaks.
Yes, I mean, it's paranoid about leaks, but it's also reflective of how the ANC's drifted away from the bigger society at large in general. And that's one of the problems that Gwede Mantashe, said in his diagnostic report that was also tabled at this conference. He said, the ANC's drifting away, especially with this debate around the Gupta family. because everybody else outside the ANC can see the problem, except within the ANC, they've been denying the problem up to this conference. But in terms of the media, I think it's ironically enough. I mean, we have 24-hour coverage of this conference. We have live coverage of press conferences, and we have leaders coming out and giving viewpoints and giving sound bites and stuff here. Outside there's the SABC set up, ANN7, the radio studios are all set up. But I do feel, we don't just want sound bites from leaders. We want to know who the delegates are who came here to make the decisions. I think that's always interesting. The normal people, the grassroots people that the ANC always talk about, and that the ANC says, they speak to the grassroots people. Yet, for me, from a journalistic point of view, all we're being fed here is the sound clips by the leaders and the provincial leaders. So that's a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, it certainly is. I don't know whether it was your piece or other pieces that I've written. Cyril Ramaphosa coming out and saying that he's impressed, quote unquote, with the level of knowledge that the normal on the floor delegates have about policy issues, which does sound a bit patronizing.
Yes, it struck me. I mean, he meant it well, but it's kind of it struck me a little bit as patronizing, as if he didn't expect anything better from the branch delegates. So that was quite a strange comment. But the people, I think the branch delegates who are here are they're the best people in the branches. They're people who can articulate positions. So it's not the riffraff that President Zuma was referring to in his opening speech. It's well-articulated people. And then, of course, together with these branch delegates, we have what you can call rent-a-crowd. For instance, the Women's League have, it was in the Sunday papers yesterday, have six male delegates here, which Minister Batabile Dlamini, the Women's League president, which she said were brought in for their expertise because, women get too emotional to argue about things like land redistribution and stuff, so we have to have men to argue for us. How many real branch members are there, and how many people are brought in as experts from goodness knows where, and who are these people, and why are they brought in? Why, because this is actually the policy should be argued here at ANC level, at branch level. It's not a government gathering. This
now, has Ms. Dlamini, is she in a wheelchair now, because she seems to shot both her feet off now? How can somebody who's the leader of the ANC Women's League, which has had some impressive members in the past, turn around and say that women are too emotional? I can't get my head around that.
I know it's tough. And also, you'll recall the Women's League was the first to come out and nominate Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma for president. And they were also the first to come out to say, we need a woman president. So if they can't, if women aren't good enough to actually argue their own case at an ANC policy conference, how do you go on and campaign for a woman president and still have credibility? So I think in that sense, like you say, she shot herself in both feet. And now that she's police minister, acting police minister, better not use slogans around her about shooting. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Shame. Sometimes.
It's just ridiculous. It's just, I don't know. It's sad, actually, because in a way, you'd expect the ANC, you'd expect much better from the ANC Women's League. They have a very proud history of standing up for women. So, yeah.
I mean, it's insulting, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a feminist or whatever you would like to call it, but I mean, looking at it straight on, if I was a woman member of the ANC, particularly if I was a cabinet minister in positions have a lot of responsibility, I'd be deeply insulted, actually, to tell the honest truth.
Yes, and what's strange to me is that there are no other women leaders coming out and saying, look, we're not like that. How can she say that? And I haven't heard any voices from within the ANC saying, this is ridiculous, this is unacceptable, So it is insulting, and it's basically, especially taking us back to that argument of saying women are children, we can't think for ourselves, we need men to think for us, or to pray on our behalf even. I mean, if you want to be religious, or even like way back when women when doctors diagnose women with hysteria if they just seem to act in a way that's not befitting of a lady. So it's just completely nuts. I don't know what she's on, but I really do hope she apologizes. And instead, she attacked the journalist and said, "No, that's not what she said." But
all right, okay, yeah, we've been through that before, haven't we?
Yes, and I don't know if I put her next to a journalist, I'm sure who, you know, I'd rather choose to believe the journalist in this case.
And Corinne, on a slightly more serious issue, the wrestling, it seems, very subtle wrestling at times between the Zuma camp and the Ramaphosa camp. A lot of voices seem to be coming out and saying that Ramaphosa actually hasn't done too badly out of this policy conference. And of course, Gwede Mantashe smiling, he hasn't done that for some time. The fact that monopoly capital, white monopoly capital, has been reduced to monopoly capital.
Yes, I mean, the conference so far does seem like the Cyril Ramaphosa camp is emerging quite strong. And it started, I mean, round one was on Friday when the diagnostic reports that Mantashe submitted, you know, in that diagnostic report, the Guptas are mentioned and State Catcher is mentioned. And there, the pro-Zuma camp didn't want it submitted, but eventually it was submitted, which was kind of a victory for the Ramaphosa camp. And now we hear about the monopoly capital, and I suspect the radical economic transformation will be toned down as well. So he's doing well, but I would not say that would necessarily translate into a win in December, which is, you know, it's kind of a barometer for that. But if you think back about 2012, when they were talking about what was it, second phase of the transition, mm-hmm. the Zuma camp wanted it to be the second transition because they wanted to have this wonderful new era, you know, in President Zuma's second term. But it was reduced to the second phase of the transition. So that was a victory for the anti-Zuma camp. But we all know who prevailed in Mangaung. So I think this is interesting. This kind of puts out the battle lines, and it kind of, there's a lot of lobbying happening here, a lot of people switching camps. And we heard Premier Mabuza from Malanga this morning saying, "I don't belong to any camp." So he's up for sale.
All right.
You know, up for grabs. So there's a lot of that going on here. But the outcome, I think in terms of policy terms, it's interesting and it's important. But in terms of leadership, I think it's just one of the battles ahead of the bigger war, so to speak,
right.
If you want to call it that, in December when the victor will emerge finally.
Corinne du Plessis, a journalist at the Nasrec Expo Center, Johannesburg, talking to us about the ANC National Policy Conference, Day 4. And, of course, Corinne's got a piece up on the Daily Maverick. You can go there, you can read it as well. But thanks for chatting to us, and do enjoy the rest of the day.
It's been a pleasure.